You're listening to the Cultural Hall Podcast with your hosts, Richie T. Stedman and Lauren Johnson. It's a podcast about Mormon stuff.
Nephi! Emma! Samuel! Do you stand at the live righteously?
It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. Thank you for joining us. It's a beautiful day here in the month of October. We're sitting in this great studio. Do you notice it's not as cold today?
In the studio or outside?
Here. No, right here where we're sitting.
I have my ski coat on right now.
So you notice it's not as cold.
It could be a little warmer, but I'm doing okay. Yeah, I don't need your blanket this time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I figured out a way to adjust the heat in this room. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool. It comes right. I figured it out, though. The air conditioning comes right on my feet.
Yeah, it's distinguishable because right there by your feet is the air conditioner vent. So
right.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
There's not one there, nor is there one there.
So I should probably just wear socks or something next time I come.
Would bring my slippers, my Uggs.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do something like that, that would be a way to assure that you would be warm.
It's true. Yeah.
You could bring your own blanket. Footy pajamas would be appropriate.
I have my own blanket in the trunk. I take it everywhere I go.
But apparently not in here.
Well, because you have a couple that you seem to keep stashed away in your...
So take it wherever you go. Kind of an exaggeration.
Unless somebody else has it. No, it's in my trunk right now.
Right.
My blanket.
Yeah, but not wherever you go because
wherever
you're in
my
here.
Car goes.
Okay.
And it's out in the parking lot.
Right. So if someone borrowed your car, you wouldn't have your blanket wherever you go. I'm just parsing words. I just want you to know wherever you go is an exaggeration.
Pick your battles, Richie.
And I am fighting this blanket one. Oh, here we go. Look, I think he's calling on the phone for us.
Yay.
I think we got him. Hey, Brandon, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey.
Hey, Brandon.
We just got started, and we'll talk to you now because we didn't know. We get so nervous around rock stars that we...
I do.
We didn't know if you were going to call on time and how it was going to work out, so I appreciate you being able to join us on such a last-minute notice.
Yeah, thinking you guys have a concert tonight, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You're out in Florida?
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get to the gig. Our bus keeps breaking down, so Duran Duran's bus is going to come pick us up.
There are worse things. We should probably introduce. We're talking to Brandon Campbell from the Neon Trees, who I had an opportunity to meet this last weekend. He played here in Salt Lake City with my daytime job, not my podcast mm-hmm. job. My daytime job, I got to meet him, got to interview him, and was really impressed, so we wanted to invite him here into the Cultural Hall. The Neon Trees, awesome band. If you haven't heard from it, coming back into the third block, we'll play a little bit of a song that Brandon picks that he'll... We'll let you pick which song of yours we play, okay, Brandon?
And I'm sure that most of you out there, if you're not even familiar with Neon Trees, if you listen to the radio, you've heard their songs.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Because I suppose there are some people, if you just listen to EFY music, right, Brandon? You guys don't do any EFY music?
Although I think that you guys should do an EFY CD.
Right? I mean...
How happy would that make missionaries?
Old, like, seminary soundtrack.
I'm waiting.
When I find out who I am.
Yeah.
like, really rock that.
Have you guys ever done... Have you guys done ever any of those covers of those old songs?
No.
Not even as a joke?
No. I do a mean bass version of Praise to the Man, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Anywhere that anyone can find it?
No. You know, it's just... I'll just bust it out, you know, here and there. That's usually it.
Could you bust it out for us today? Do you think we could get it over the phone?
That's going to be kind of hard because we don't really have any, the bus and the trailer are being separated.
Oh.
A lot of problems out there in Florida.
So broken down and busted.
So yep. is it just, the bus just isn't working? What's going on right now? We should probably address that more.
No, there's just some engine problems. So I think that they just have to get it fixed.
Yeah,
those are the worst kind of problems for a bus engine.
Yeah, and you would hope maybe that you guys could. Well, I don't know if it's appropriate to say to give the bus a blessing, but
yeah,
take
right.
yeah, but take a moment.
Right.
I mean, isn't that
of all the buses to break down?
Isn't,
I think what it is it's too much of our mysterious orange drink that we have, on our rider in the orange cooler, you know, that we have. And also our limitless supply of Jell-O and carrots.
Yeah, you know? it can put some stress on an engine, man. That Jell-O ain't light.
Exactly. And so I think it's the humidity down here that's really affecting it. So
do you get a lot of that? Being, you know, everyone in the Neon Trees, and I didn't know this until we spoke on Saturday. I had kind of heard it. It was an urban legend to me that, you know, everyone in the Neon Trees, you know, were Mormon. But do you get a lot of that? Do you get a lot of the stereotypical Jell-O polygamous, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the people, you know, the Jell-O thing is definitely, you got to really be in, you know, in the inner circle to understand that one. And
yeah.
So, but I think for people, you know, outside of that, you know, just kind of maybe know a little bit about Mormons, yeah, it's more of the, you know, where's all your wives? You know, are you wearing the magic underwear? And, you know,
what do you say? Like, what do you say? Like on the polygamous thing and the magic underwear thing?
Well, I say yes. And I say, you know, I'm waiting for polygamy to come back. You know, I mean, one wife just doesn't clean the house enough. Tell you what,
yeah, our house is so messy.
And you are married. You are.
Yeah. So when my wife knows that I'm doing this podcast and wants to listen, and so now I'm going to pay for that comment.
Yeah. So how long have you been married for?
11 years.
Wow.
I know.
The Neon Trees haven't been together for that long. I assume you were in music at the point that you got married.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in music, you know, since junior high. So ever since she's known me, that, you know, I've always been, you know, playing gigs and involved in music. And so she, like another seminary video, you knew what I was when you picked me up.
Yeah.
You know?
You knew what I was. The rattlesnake. Yeah.
Yes, I do remember
carry
that
me
one.
To the top of the mountain. I won't bite you, I promise.
You knew what I was when you picked me up. Let me, just to test that knowledge, do you remember the phone call?
I remember the phone call.
I don't, you know, here's the thing. I'm kind of limited because I actually joined the church after high school.
Oh.
And I went to... So during my senior year, when I was kind of investigating church, I grew up in Las Vegas, had a lot of rock and roll friends that I was playing music with, and I had a lot of Mormon friends as well, and some of those were even mixed into both categories.
Yeah.
And so my senior year, I started investigating, so I would get up at, you know, 5 a.m., and I would go to seminary. I would walk to seminary because I wanted to, you know, kind of see what it was all about. So
not as a member of the church, am I understanding that right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so I was able to check out, you know, some of these videos and see some of them. So some of them, you know, I've seen, others I've only heard of, like the phone call.
Okay, well, I will find my copy of the phone call, Brandon. I'm not kidding, because I've got your contact information. I will find it, and I will mail you a copy of the phone call. Because
how do you have a copy
because,
of the phone call?
Because of all the church movies that a person needs to see, the phone call, you just watch it and you're like, what? What? I mean, like, that you knew what I was when you picked me up, that has, like, a moral kind of thing. The phone call, you just go, were they just making a movie? Were they just kind of bored? Like, it has, and I won't spoil this for anyone who's listening, or and for you, obviously, who hasn't seen it, but my favorite line, out of context, will just entice you to want to see this movie more, is he says, I play the bassoon. It's like a balloon with S's. And it's just, you know, what possible moral, you know, lesson are you going to learn from something that has lines like that? Other lines, I'll share one other one, and then I won't ruin the rest for you, Brandon.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite lines is, hey, can I walk you home? Oh, it's a long walk. That's okay. I have long feet.
Yeah.
And it's not...
Well, it sounds like a version, like the Mormon version of what's it called? The Room?
Oh.
Is that the cult classic that everyone is... That the movie's so bad.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the one that all of Hollywood goes to watch because it's so terrible. Yeah,
right.
It is. I would, I would equate that. The Mormon version of The Room.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got, let's go back a little bit. You'd get up for seminary, not as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so what was it? What was it about the church, or, you know, getting up as a 17, 18-year-old kid, getting up for seminary or getting up for anything at 5 in the morning is a pretty big deal. What was it about the church that kind of drove you about it?
I think what it was that, you know, by that point in my life, I realized I didn't have a foundation in anything. Like, my foundation was in rock and roll. Like, if I had a gig coming up that weekend, you know, I was excited. Like, that was what I was looking forward to. But if that got canceled or if something happened, then it's like I'd kind of be in a funk.
Uh-huh.
I'd look around at my other friends, and especially my Mormon friends, and I said, you know, there's something there that, you know, they can only sink so low. There seems to be some foundation. And after a while, I realized it's that church. It's, you know, there's something there that, you know, gives them a foundation. So it made me very, very curious. And I just realized it was people that I loved being around and people that, you know, radiated something. And so I think at first it was more of a, you know, a social conversion from that, and then, you know, learning about the spiritual from there.
So then where did it go from that point? So then it's, you know, my friends, they seem to have a foundation. Did you have to ask to have the missionaries come over? Did a friend finally reach out? Kind of walk us through the whole process.
Yeah.
I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, I think from there, you know, I knew that eventually I wanted to learn more. My naive understanding at the time was if you took the missionary discussions that you immediately got baptized, and I knew that I wasn't ready to make that commitment because I didn't want to do it halfway. I wanted to make sure that I was ready if I was going to do something like that. And so throughout my senior year, I kind of put off meeting with the missionaries until the summer after graduation. I met with them, and now mind you that one of the people that was an influence to me, and I actually ended up taking the missionary discussions at their house, is now my wife.
Oh, really?
So she was my girlfriend at the time, but it wasn't a thing of like, oh, well, I'm going to do this for you, you know,
right.
Just so that you and I can hang out, or that thing of, well, my parents still want me to see you because you're not Mormon, and like, oh, well, I'll become Mormon, you know, like, there was none of that pressure because mm-hmm. her folks were good people, you know, like, and willing to give me a chance, even though they knew I was, you know, a punk off the street, and they knew better, but, you know, they were willing to say, you know, hey, let's, instead of shun you away, you know, let's, you know, be good people and give you a chance.
Yeah, that speaks a tremendous amount about your wife, I think that, you know, shows certainly the strength of her own character in that, you know, she's like, listen, I love you, Brandon, and, you know, loves you for you. And then, you know, everything else kind of evolved around it. But I like what you said in that it wasn't, she wanted you to do that for you, or that her parents or any of those type of things that you do hear about within the church, but that she, you know, was just like, listen, I love you. And in fact, in some ways, maybe even harder for her to be like, hey, what about these missionary discussions? How would you like to join the church? You know, I think that's,
well, you know, what's cool too, is that she was actually, was only there for one of them, and so it was actually more relaxed because during that summer, I mean, she was, you know, involved in a lot of, you know, doing stuff like EFY, church history tour.
So she's hardcore, it sounds like.
She's seen the phone call.
Yeah, she's seen the phone call.
Yeah, exactly. She was out, doing live interpretations of the phone call. community theater.
Yeah.
Pageant.
She
was probably off hanging out with like other boys or whatever, kind of like, hey, I'll see if this other kid like comes through. If not, you know, I better go play the field.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. But
yeah
so it definitely wasn't one of those things of like the missionaries talking to me, and then before I answer, I look at her like, what am I going to say?
You know, right.
Like, and even after the missionary discussions, it was still, you know, me saying, okay, well, I'm really going to read and pray and ponder on this for a couple months.
Was there anything that kind of held you up about it? Anything that you were like, boy, okay, this Joseph Smith thing, I believe, but
this magic underwear.
Yeah, or this, you know, this Book of Mormon, I have a hard time with this. Was there anything like that, something that kind of it kept coming back to, or was it just a time to absorb everything?
No, because I knew at that point, you know, I was done with high school, and so it was time for, you know, the next phase of my life. And really the thing I knew is like, if I do this, I need to be 100%, because if I get baptized, I know that I want to go on a mission because I'm at the age where I can do that and where I should do that, you know, if I'm going to be, you know, 100% with this. And so I wanted to make sure that I was at a point where I could fully commit to that. I mean, mind you, from the time that I was about 13 until now, well, until that point, you know, when I was 18 after high school, you know, I was involved in some rough circles and, you know, partying, you know, here and there with people, just, you know, social drinking and, you know, other things and stuff like that. And, you know, making sure that that stuff was, you know, no longer part of my life. Yep. And, you know, wanting to make sure that, because I did see friends around me that did join the church for the wrong reasons, or maybe even for the right reasons, and just couldn't, you know, couldn't live it.
So
yeah, and I just couldn't be that guy. I just had to make sure. And so I think I just had to get, you know, make sure that certain things were out of my life. And eventually it was hard because it meant that I had to distance myself from, you know, certain friends and, you know, people that I'd been friends with for, you know, 5-6 years.
Temptations. And
that was hard. But also at the same time, you know, a great influence to me, you know, I have two friends, Mike and Justin, who, you know, were running around on the streets with me, and then all of a sudden, I think they realized, well, you know, hey, I'm not happy doing this. They were members of the church, and to see their countenance change as they, you know, got back involved in the church and got themselves in order and were preparing for mission, just that change in their countenance that I saw was so impressive, and, you know, so that was definitely something that was helpful for me to see that, okay, you know, this is something that I can do. In fact, one of those guys, Mike, I mean, they're both still doing great, but Mike and his wife just came to our show in Vegas 2 weeks ago, and I still keep in touch with him, and it's a great, great influence.
All right, well, we're going to come back in the third block of the cultural, or I guess we're the second block, right? Because we actually started the show, and then mm-hmm. we pretended like we were going to go back, but now we're not. So mm-hmm. we'll come back in the second block. We're talking with Brandon Campbell from the Neon Trees. I want to talk a little bit about mission, talk about being married, talk about being a rock star, being Mormon, everything that kind of goes with that, and maybe the lifestyle. And then we got to get to the questions that we ask everyone. So we'll be back in just a minute with the second block of the Cultural Hall podcast.
Plutonium Home Media is your source for the latest technology in home, car audio, and video at prices that will not be beaten by the big box stores. Call Jed at 801-645-1021 or go to plutoniumhomemedia.com.
Does your Utah business need help navigating the social media landscape? Contact Moz Concepts for help developing Facebook applications, custom websites, and building your social media fan base. Visit Moz Concepts online at mozconcepts.com. That's mozconcepts.com.
How much longer do we have you for?
Probably about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Just because, yeah, we're going to have to get some stuff off the bus when our rescue team shows up. It's, you know, it's definitely kind of like the pioneers, you know, that we got stuck in the snow because we left too late. And so now Duran and their wagon team are going to come save us. So
I love that it's Duran and their rescue team, you know?
It's awesome. Yeah. Hey, Brandon, I have a question then. What was the turning point? What was the moment when you decided, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be baptized, and you made that decision? What happened?
Actually, you know, because one person that, you know, that I knew that I had to be accountable to was my girlfriend's dad, you know, because I respected his friendship, and he's very, you know, no nonsense guy, and, you know, had at that time become a good friend of mine. And I knew that, you know, I couldn't, if I was going to be serious, you know, that I couldn't say, hey, I'm going to do this, and not follow through with it. So, you know, it was after, you know, the whole summer of really just, you know, reading and praying and getting that confirmation and knowing that, hey, this is something that I know that I want to do, and it's not just a knee-jerk reaction, that I was driving home from work, and I said, you know, if I turn down the street and, you know, and go to his house, that, you know, this is on. And, you know, it just seemed like turning that wheel was just so easy, you know, like mm-hmm. this is something that we're going to do. And, you know, and by that point, Emily wasn't living at home. She had already moved up.
That's your wife. That's your
college.
Wife.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was really just, you know, me being able to be on my own and, you know, make that decision, even though I knew that people were, you know, were in my corner, that it was really about me making that personal decision. And so, yeah, so we did it. And I went and had a great, you know, talk with him and, you know, asked him if he would actually baptize me. And, you know, and we talked about a lot of things. And, you know, and him being honest, like, you know, like, when you do this, it doesn't mean that, you know, your life becomes, you know, peaches and cream or anything.
Boy, is that the truth.
The honeymoon phase that a lot of converts go through.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but he's like, but it's the beginning, you know. It's the beginning of, you know, making those right decisions and, you know, it's going to help you stuff. And, yeah, so I think it's that. And also during that summer, you know, just being more aware of other friends around me that, you know, I always hung out with a lot of older people and just seeing, unfortunately, you know, people I didn't want to become like.
Sure. And it's hard sometimes to say that, but, I mean, you look around, and especially in Vegas, I mean, I've heard the comment from several people before that they're so thankful for, like, senior missions and stuff like that, because you look around in the casinos in Vegas, and you see a lot of people who don't appear to be very happy, you know, just stuck behind a machine doing those kind of things, and you don't want to look at it and be like, boy, am I glad I'm not that person. And I don't think that's what you're saying, but I mean, you certainly do look at how other people lead their lives and where they're at different parts of their life and go, man, do I want what that person has at that point in their life? And you know, the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is that what's funny is, you know, I did have some people that they thought they kind of knew what the Mormon Church was about. And obviously they didn't. And they thought that, well, you're doing this so that you can go on a mission for 2 years and just go on a vacation and escape life. And that, you know,
is
anyone that has been on a mission and that does it right, you know, it's no vacation.
Right.
And
where did you serve?
I went to Detroit.
Oh, nice. Close to us.
Yeah, we went. Both of us went to Cleveland.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We'll actually be playing there next week.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Give us a shout-out. They all remember us there.
Yeah, we're really big
We're kind of a big deal there, so you'll have to be like, Richie and Lauren.
So because
yeah,
I know...
Yeah, we'll make sure to have some chili, some Skyline chili, you know?
Go
yeah.
And do...
Well, that's for Cincinnati. I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're fine, but do this. There is a place there in Cleveland called Old Fashioned Hot Dog. It's in the crummiest part of the west side of town. Take the bus and go to... It's on West 42nd and Lorraine. Have your wife write this down when she listens to the podcast. It's right across the street from a mortuary, and it is the dirtiest hot dog place you'll ever go to in your life. And if it isn't the best hot dog you've ever had, you come back here and I'll pay you for that hot dog you bought.
That is a deal.
Do I have to save the hot dog? Like, to get
No. I'll trust you.
If it's not good?
Yeah. One brother to another. I'll trust you.
Hey, so, you know, Brandon, I've got to ask this. We put it out there, you know, if anyone has questions for Brandon, you know, let us know. And these were quite of the few questions kind of combined. You know, the rock stars, they're known to be partiers. They're typically single, which you haven't been for quite a while. They're ladies' men. I mean, how does it work to be not only Mormon, but happily married and then touring the country with this rock band? I'm sure you have screaming ladies all the time. Excited to see you. How does that work?
Oh, I mean, it's still flattering. You know, it's still like...
It still makes you feel good.
I mean, one of those things to be like, dude, I still got it, right?
You're like, see, polygamy could work.
But then you realize your lead singer is standing behind you, and that's why people are screaming.
Oh.
No, it's always flattering. I always say this, though. I say, because people say, you're a star now. How does that feel? And I said, no, I'm a professional musician. If anyone remembers my name, that's their problem. You know,
yeah, I get you.
I think it's one of those things that, you know, because I had a friend recently that was getting in a, you know, professional situation with music and is married and was going to be traveling a lot. And he says, you know, how do you, you know, what should I do to help, you know, help my wife be comfortable with this? And the number one thing is to make sure that your spouse is just always in the loop, you know, that... The worst thing is for anyone to, you know, read about where you were or who you were with, you know, like on Facebook or something like that.
Sure. Well, I saw you in this picture and you were, you know, hugging awfully close.
You just checked in to wherever that might be, which is why
you
don't check in.
You know, Wild West Gentlemen's Club. It's like,
right.
Whoa. No, none of that funny stuff. But I think it's always, you know, always keeping in touch, you know, and... You know, just always aware and just, you know, sharing things together. And also, you know, when time allows, you know, I like to bring my wife out onto the road and, you know, and so figuring out, you know, times to do that whenever we're going to be in a space, you know, in a town for a couple of days or, you know, good times for her to travel on the bus with us and, you know, just making them a part of the whole journey. And as far as like, you know, meeting you know, any other people on the road, or, you know, having offers from someone that may not know that you're married or whatever, that, you know, just to politely say, hey, you know what, I'm married, or even just to throw it out there, say, you know what, that those earrings remind me of something that my wife would love.
Oh, really? You go that far to it?
Throw it out on the table, you know, just like right away, be like, and you know, and I think people are more impressed with that and would find like, hey, I'd rather have a conversation with you as a real person than, you know, try and make out with you or something.
Yeah. When I visited with you guys on Saturday, I got a chance to interview Brandon and Tyler, and you made a comment which has kind of stuck in my mind since then, and so I wanted to ask you about it. You said that you all kind of keep each other in check, that, you know, every member of the Neon Trees is Mormon, and that you kind of keep each other in check. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, I assume that it's not, now, brother, you need to, you know, because I'm sure that there's some fun, you know, some fun things about that. But how do you do that without, you know, without offending?
And crossing the line.
Oh, sometimes it does, you know. Sometimes, you know, we might, you know, have a situation where, you know, like I said, where we're keeping each other in check. And, you know, sometimes someone, you know, might hear something that they don't want to hear. But, you know, I think part of it, though, is just being grown-ups and ahead of time, you know, we've established rules for the road. And so there's never been an awkward moment of like, hey, how'd this case of beer get on the bus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just in, like, it's just established. And I think, too, that from, you know, obviously this isn't our first tour, our first rodeo, that, you know, by this point that, you know, we're able just to establish those things. And plus, yeah, I mean, it would be very, you know, awkward if we were to walk in the back lounge and, you know, Tyler's making out with some girls back here, like that would, you know, or Chris or anybody, you know, like, that would just be very out of character. And
what do you think, know, it'd be something that would cause the band to, I mean, I don't want to say break up, but it, I mean, is that religious conviction that much that if, say, a couple of the members of the band were like, hey, you know what, that was a phase of my life, I'm not interested in doing the Mormon thing anymore. Like, would it be that, you know, do you get where I'm saying with that? Would it be that big of an
How
issue?
How would that change
be like,
the dynamic of the band?
Yeah.
No, you know, it wouldn't, because I don't think that it would be fair to those people to be that strict.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, we'd want to be sensitive to, you know, someone that's maybe, you know, going through that. And so it's not a religious, you know, obligation to be part of Neon Trees. It's kind of more of a thing that it just so happened, you know. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, I was the last one to join the band, and there wasn't a, you know, an application with the box that says, are you LDS?
Sure.
It just happened, know? Coincidence. What?
So it's not gonna be that way, but which works out good, you know, for as far as, you know, creating an atmosphere that everyone's cool with. But if someone in the band were like, hey, you know what, I don't want to be Mormon anymore, that's not going to be, you know, that's not going to break up the band.
What about LDS people, you know, that might be critical of you looking at you? I mean, you look at your pictures, you guys look like rock stars, which you are. Uh-huh. You know, you have the rock star
demeanor,
the hair, the costumes, even the lyrics to your songs. You guys are rock stars. I mean, uh-huh. I'm sure that not all LDS members agree with everything you do. Not all its members agree with a lot of what everyone does. But have you had some critical statements, or how do you deal with that if there's some negativity towards members of the church?
I don't. You know, it's like usually there's people that have problems with everything. But you know what? I'm sorry. The other bus is here.
Okay.
So
the Duran Duran Rescue Team.
Yeah, can I call you guys back?
Yeah, you bet.
Or is that going to mess up your schedule?
No, nah, you
we'll
bet. Call us back. We'll make it work.
Yeah, let me call you back in the next hour.
All right.
You know,
Sounds great. We just have a couple other things that we want to talk to you about, but we don't want to keep the Duran Duran bus waiting, certainly.
Right, and we want to see how this rescue worked out, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think Simon Le Bon is wearing a Brigham Young outfit. So let me see here. Okay, I'll call you guys back for sure.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a bit.
All right, bye.
Bye. We've got just a little more time here, we can go right into the third block. What do you want to do? Let's do this now. Let's do some emails now, and then we'll come back
Perfect.
With news
and
in
I'm
the
warm.
Third block.
I'm taking my coat off.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Let me do this first. This is from our Facebook page, facebook.com, and then search The Cultural Hall. That's you, how you can like us. And we encourage people to do that. When we know how many people are downloading and listening to The Cultural Hall, and we know how many people like us on Facebook. And those numbers are not the same. So if you like us, if you like listening to the podcast, you want to know what's coming up, you want news, we're going to do a little bit better about sharing some articles that maybe we don't share here on the podcast, and some that we do, so that people know where they can get them from.
Just to note real quick, though, you can love us and still like us.
Yeah. You don't have to limit it to liking.
Right. You can really love us, and I'd really be okay with that.
I'd really love that, too. Okay. Or really... I think I might just really like it. This is from John Shannon, who, with this last podcast, episode 9 that we did with Del Parson down in Cedar City, I got a couple of comments from people who said, hey, you know what, Richie, maybe a little too far, or kind of a weird mood in the last podcast. Specifically speaking about the last article that I shared in the Articles of News last week, which was about the young woman who was, I can't remember if the story said, allegedly raped or molested.
Sexually harassed.
At a church function. And so after I got a couple comments of that, I put on our Facebook wall, I said, hey, you know what? Listen to this podcast. Tell me if you think that I went too far. John Shannon says, after listening to the latest podcast, I'd have to disagree 100% with people thinking that you went too far. I've been an active listener of the Cultural Hall podcast since episode 1. We'll be saving a seat for you. The thing that I love the most about Richie and Lauren is that they remain objective to the viewpoints of the various guests who have appeared on the show. I think those who may have felt Richie went too far are the ones who didn't enjoy episode 4, the John Boleyn, as much. I also love the different topics and information that are discussed and shared that I may not have otherwise known about. Thanks for all that you do and keep up the great work.
You know, John Boleyn caused some controversy, but it sounds like our Articles of News is causing controversy in that last one. But do we put a limit on what... I mean, Mormons in the news, it could be anything, right?
Well, let's get into it. So you forwarded me this email, and I want to be honest and just outright address this with people, and then we'll go into the third block. This, we'll leave it anonymous, I guess, from your friend. Friend of Lauren, who emailed Lauren. He writes, and I'll share this entire email so that I'm not taking things out of context. He says, the show is very funny. It just sounds like you guys are having a great time, consistently smiling and letting the jokes happen naturally.
Good.
Thank you.
Yes.
He goes on, I think that the premise for the show is great and that this will be a popular podcast. It is, so thank you. He says, it is okay to be slightly irreverent in a reverent way.
This is
an important niche that is underserved in the LDS community in general and in Utah in particular. Goes on, I'm not even saying that this was a major problem during the episode that I listened to, but make sure the emails that are read out loud don't sound overly self-congratulatory and will be interesting to your listeners. And let me say this. I read all the emails that come into the show, critical or congratulatory. So in that respect, I feel like we're being very honest with people. You know,
we're not handpicking.
Yeah. At this point, we're able to read all the emails that come into the show.
I mean, if an email says Lauren is a, you know, terrestrial swear, he might just edit that
I would share it. I would share it in a irreverent way. I would edit it, of course.
Right.
But I would share it because I want people to know that it's not just here are all these great things that people are saying about us and then, you know, hundreds of terrible things. Why we're sharing this email, for example. He says, and don't be afraid to decide not to read a particular email on the air. Again, forthcoming. Try to single out emails that are interesting and unique enough or bizarre enough that they serve a comedic purpose or be engaging. If it's something just like, hey, you two, I love the show and you're the best ever and you should make my brother a guest and I peed a little from laughing so hard, LOL, heart, then that can come across as you guys reading compliments to yourself while your listeners wait for the show to start. I disagree in that I think it's, hey, this person actively loves the show, you actively love the show, and we're sharing the comments. Again, since we read both sides, I don't find it to be a negative
thing. And we're
thing.
Engaging our guests. We're right. saying if you send us feedback and comments, we're going to listen.
Yeah, we want your feedback. And the easiest way, you know, Facebook is a great way, but just going to theculturalhall.com, there is a place for comments and contact us, and those emails come right to me. I share them with Lauren. Mm-hmm. We get them. He goes on, your banter back and forth is solid and enjoyable. I especially like the moment where you made fun of Richie for remembering someone who didn't remember him and when he teased you about being too good for online dating.
Which I am. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Now, you want me to announce it now or later?
Yeah, make the brief announcement right now since we're on the topic.
I guess ward business time. I joined Match.com.
Yay! And people can find you under what profile?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Don't worry about it at Match.com. No. Let me go on with this email. I would refer to the website a little less frequently. If you wanted to, you could have a segment at the end that was a quick recap where you go over all the additional content that will be available on the website. I think that most people would be more likely to remember to visit the website if it was mentioned at the end. It felt a little jarring to me when one of your guests was talking about something and Richie mentioned the website was a place where people could go to get more information. Well, guess what? And he goes on to say, every time the website was mentioned, it was like hearing, hey, you're listening to a podcast right now. Well, whoever you are, anonymous. That is why I do it. I want people to know that it's not just a podcast, but it's a Facebook and an online community where we engage interaction from people. It's not just us talking to you. You know, Lauren
it's
and
about
I,
the community.
Yeah, Lauren and I don't come on and pretend to be something that we're not. We are very much who we are. And so fourth wall broken intentionally. And then finally, he says that's really about it. The fact that my feedback is so nitpicky and such minor things is a good sign. I think you guys are really onto something here. Thank you. And I really enjoyed listening to the show. So that's a random thing. We'll be back with a couple more emails, some articles of news, and if we can get him to call, we'll do. We'll talk again with the second break of.
And I want to share something that bothered me at church a couple weeks ago.
Oh, please, we'll get into that too. That's going to be a fairly hefty third block of the cultural hall
coming up. Get excited!
Coming up now.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Yeah. All right, back with the third block of the Cultural Hall podcast. Maybe we'll get Brandon Campbell.
Back on.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him back on. We don't know.
We'll find out.
I'm watching the phone line.
We have our questions for him if he calls.
Yeah, if the Duran Duran bus saved him.
We'll see.
Yeah, or if it just broke down too. Hey, Brandon.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back.
Sorry about the mix up there.
It's okay. Were you rescued? That's the question we're all wondering.
Pardon?
Were you rescued? Did Duran Duran rescue you?
Yes, and I just ate one of Simon Le Bon's homemade cookies.
How surreal is that? How surreal is that? That has nothing to do with Mormonism, but how surreal is it to be with Duran Duran?
Well, you know, John Taylor does play bass for them, so...
The Prophet?
They knew that they're, right? I mean, he's got to be related.
Have you said...
And to think of all those early missions to England that, you know...
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some connection now.
Have you sat down and shared his genealogy with him?
Not yet. I'm waiting until we go to Washington, D.C., and then we can go to the White House and present it to him and Barack Obama at the same time. Maybe see if they're related as well.
When you go to, I thought about this after we talked to you a little bit, and for those that are now listening, this is not recorded at the same time, but post, you know, we just caught back up with Brandon. You're going to Cleveland. Are you guys going to have a chance to go over to Kirtland?
No. Everything's pretty tight. But we will go to the other Mecca, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's not Kirtland, but it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, we've...
are you in there? Are you
going
to try to get yourself in there?
No, they're just going to be like, no, you know what? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, sorry. We're not interested.
Well, there's a couple things. Well, I guess it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. And so they do have some exhibits that do show younger artists who, you know, aren't. Because you have to have, like, your first album has to have been out for, like, 25 years.
Yeah, in order to be accepted, that's how it is. And I remember when I went through a couple years ago, the young artist exhibit was Avril Lavigne. And I was like, what? What is this?
Oh, you're so getting in then. You guys are so there.
But we've gone, but they've had us there to do... you know, like meet and greets, and we've filmed some stuff there for some of their archives as far as, you know, like interviews or going around and talking about some of the displays that we like the most, like our top five.
What's your favorite?
Mine was the one I think that touched me the most was the side of Otis Redding's airplane that they were able to recover from the crash. That they had this panel of it on the wall.
Wow.
And I think that's a guy that you don't realize that he was, I think he was 27 or late, you know, late 20s. His voice is so soulful and mature. Like you, and his lyrical content, you don't think of a guy in his 20s, you know, mm-hmm. like you think of a, you know, mature, like maybe, you know, someone like 50 by then.
Yeah,
you know?
has a whole lot of life behind him.
Yeah, exactly. So that was cool. And then, you know, a lot of the Hendrix stuff. I'm a big Hendrix fan. So that was cool to see, you know, a lot of his instruments and costumes. Obviously, Neon Trees is a band that, you know, we like to dress up for shows and have fun with that. We're not afraid of, you know, being glamorous when it comes to performing. And so you go through these exhibits and see these, you know, these respected musicians in all circles that, you know, were... Some of them were wearing just the gaudiest thing, or when you get up close, you realize how homemade it was, but it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe we're doing something right now, because these days, everyone wants to downplay.
Oh, I'm not a rock star. Oh, it's not a big, yeah, it's not a show. I just like playing the music, and that's one of the things I really love about you guys, is it's a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not opposed to, you know, someone that's, hey, I'm just going to wear jeans and a flannel and perform. That's the thing, if someone... You know, someone shouldn't do something they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't get dressed up if that's not you. But if, you know, but for other people that are into that vibe and stuff, that I think it's, you know, it just adds another cool spectrum to entertainment and rock and roll that, you know, to have a variety of different kinds of, you know, music and performers out there still.
You know, getting back to kind of what we were talking about before, being Mormon, being on the road, everything with, you know, you got your groupies and you guys kind of keep tabs on each other and everything like that. Do you do anything? Do you guys ever do like if you're on the road and you don't have a church chance to go to church on Sunday, do you ever do anything like that where you're like, hey, spiritual time, anything like that? Or before a show, do you ever do a prayer or anything like that? Or do you kind of leave that separate?
Well, before the shows, we definitely all, you know, come together for a prayer, and, you know, each night, you know, someone else says it so that, everyone's, you know, involved in it. So that's something that's important to us. And, you know, as far as other times, though, as far as, you know, having, you know, spiritual thoughts, sharing that stuff, that there's never, like, a set time that we do that. You know, and sometimes, you know, some of us will chime in with, you know, maybe something that we've read or whatever, but there's never, you know.
It's not like 10 a.m. morning
time,
devotional.
You know,
yeah, okay.
But
study.
That is really cool that you're praying before a concert. Was that something when you joined that was already being done? Did you guys establish this as the tour began? Did it just happen? I love that. I love that you're doing that.
I think it, you know, once we started doing, I think it was almost in desperation where you're doing these bigger shows and you feel like, okay, we need a guided hand, you know, that, you know, and I think a lot of it is because we do have a confidence, you know, in ourselves, you know, and with the music, you know, not to say that we don't, you know, not to sound irreverent or anything like that, but to make the point that it's also a time to give thanks, you know, thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're doing what we have wanted to do, and that we know privately that we've all have, you know, prayed to get to this moment, you know, and, you know, thank you for, you know, having people for us to share our music with and have talents and stuff like that, you know, we definitely don't want to ever, you know, take it for granted. So, but I think it's a combination of, you know, the hard work that we've done, but also remembering in life that, you know, we know that there is a bigger picture.
Yeah. You know, Brandon, I went to your personal Facebook page. Haven't added you yet, but I totally hope you'll accept. But I saw under...
Smooth,
thanks,
by the way.
Thanks. I saw under your religious views, I loved how you said it. You said you were Mo to the core.
Right.
And you were talking about foundation earlier when you were investigating the church, that fellow members you saw had a foundation and you wanted to know what it was. It sounds like you found it a little bit through this statement. Or tell me a little bit about being Mo to the core or what that means to you.
Well, I think what it is, it's basically knowing that I have that, inside of me and trying to have, a rock hard foundation. But I think it's also, a fun way of putting it to where it's like, hey, you know what? Like, I am a religious person, but I'm not so serious that you can't talk to me about other things.
Yeah. Do you feel like you make Mormonism a little bit more cool, perhaps, for some people
there? I think that's fair to... Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's part of it is doing away with, a lot of the stereotypes that, or there's something that with Mormonism that, that people seem to say with the lifestyle that Mormons live that you always have to tag on the phrase, I can't do this, or I can't do that.
I'm Mormon,
I
can't.
Like there was that rage at BYU, they made the shirt say, I can't, I'm Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want. You choose not to. But how about all the things that you can do? And I think that, I think that's something that, that I like to share, with friends that are interested and stuff like that, and know that, there is still a lot of common ground, and, just keeping that perspective that, day to day that we're all in the world together, and that, some of us are going to have, spiritual views on things, and there are a lot of people that are very, educated and aware, but choose not, to follow a certain path.
Yeah.
And for us, it's respecting everybody and bringing down that stereotype that Mormons are so judgmental and that Mormons are here, to remind you of everything that you're doing wrong and how bad you are. Because unfortunately, some people grew up with people like that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It seems like everyone who has the example of, man, I know some Mormon people in my neighborhood and they were the greatest, most nice people. It also seems that everyone has that example of, yeah, I knew a Mormon who was a real jerk.
All he tried to do was convert me or he just was a terrible business
person. Yeah, he wouldn't let me play with, or his kids play with my kids and that stuff.
And he judged us, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But I don't think that needs to fully represent the LDS Church and its and its membership. So yeah, I think that as the old saying goes, keep it real.
Yeah. Rusty asks, he's a Cultural Hall listener, that he wonders if you ever think it would have been easier to make it bigger if you were not tied to your LDS faith. And he also wanted us to just share that he really respects the fact that you have done what you've done and stay true to what you believe while making it. Loves the music so much and loves the people as well. But what about that question? Do you think sometimes it'd be easier if we were an LDS ever?
I don't think so. I think that, again, it was never a mission of the band to go out there and say, we are a Mormon rock band. Because I think in that case, that's when maybe those are bands that do play exclusive, EFY-style songs. Like you would say, a Christian rock band, as opposed to,
a rock band who happens to be Christian. Band. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that
EFY
album, though. Not giving up on it.
Yeah. And it's, so I don't think that it's either way. I think that, for me, whatever I'm choosing to do in life, I'm glad that I have, a foundation in my faith that, for me, whether it's, it's playing music or doing graphic design, which I went to college for, or, if I'm doing construction, that, I want to have a spiritual foundation in my life and remember who I am, especially when you get, in mixed company, because I have had some construction jobs. And
yeah.
If you think being in a rock band, puts you around some colorful people, get on the job site and you're around some colorful people. But I think, it's establishing, who you are, and so that you set guidelines for yourself and for other people as well that know, hey, this is where I draw the line. So if you're going to want to talk, sit and talk about, pornography that you watched, I'm not going to be in on that conversation.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about the ball game, or if you want to talk about rock and roll or, you know, I guess at the at a construction site, they're not going to really talk much about fashion, right?
Yeah.
But guys, I found the best work boots. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. This work belt is so great for my hammers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, I think it's just, you know, it's just creating that out there. You know, you get out on a tour and, you know, I think people know right away. It's like, hey, we don't drink, you know, but it's not because you go out there with signs saying, everybody gather around. And we post up these signs everywhere that, you know, don't bring your devil water around me, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
just about, you know, you just create that atmosphere and, you know, and create a standard to have out there. So for me, you know, that's important, you know, for me to have that atmosphere. I think, you know, also being able to offer something in place of that, because sometimes people will say, well, being out on the road, if you're not partying, like, that's kind of boring, you know, that's like a, you know, especially when you can be out there getting, you know, free drinks and being offered, you know, to go to parties and taking around and stuff. It's like, you know, finding the alternatives to that. That doesn't mean, you know, we can still have fun, and I think that our band is very good at, you know, making fun in situations and out of situations. You know, making fun of a situation as well. So,
Let me.
You know, it's whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, it really is that old saying, fun, or, you know, you can find fun in whatever you want to do, which sounds so cliche, you know, but I think it really is that whole thing of, you know what, I don't need those things to have a good time. I think that's awesome. I know I don't want to keep you the entire day, so we just have a couple questions that we ask everyone.
You know what, though? I got to interrupt. A text just barely came in with another question from someone.
All right, do it.
Okay.
Jamie wants to know if any of your lyrics or anything has ever been written from, like, an inside church joke, a Book of Mormon principle, anything Mormon that we would maybe not know, but you could tell us about? Anything like that?
Well, you know, Tyler writes all the lyrics, and which, you know, we respect T.S. Singham. I would say that, you know, one of the songs to get closest to that would be our song Farther Down.
Okay.
So if Jamie wants to listen to that, and, you know,
what part of it?
I'd say definitely like the bridge, section. You know, there's kind of almost kind of this gospel breakdown, you know, in the middle of it. But it's just, you know, talking about you know, that we all have down times, and sometimes, you know, you do need the Lord to bring you up. But don't doubt that, you know, that there have been hard times.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is open for interpretation too. You know, I think that when you listen to songs, you know, for you to go out and tell someone exactly, you know, what it means,
it ruins it.
It takes some of the fun out of it.
Yep.
Because
everyone can interpret
it. A song, it may, you know, they may be able to interpret it for their lives, and I think that makes it more meaningful. And so, but I think that, you know, you can't doubt that while, you know, someone may say, you know, hey, I'm not going to, you know, write directly, you know, in the path of, you know, church messages, that when someone has a standard in their life or some sort of, you know, moral fiber that they're trying to follow and establish, that, you know, those tones are going to come out, whether you're a Rastafarian, you know, a Jew, a Catholic, you know.
Because
you look at someone like Modest Yahoo, or you look at someone like Bob Marley, you look at someone like Bono from U2, that, you know, these are all people that have, you know, spiritual foundations in their lives, whether from growing up or from paths that they've chosen later on. And I think that, you know, Mormons shouldn't be ashamed to do that same thing. I think they're just, you know, they just have to be comfortable, you know, with putting it out there and, you know, and still being a new, peculiar, you know, people that, you know, sometimes there's some explaining to do.
sure.
You know, just like the recent discussions if Mormons are Christian, and it's like anyone that really knows, it's like, duh. You know, it's like, how is this even a discussion? But when you get out there into the world and find out that, you know, certain people just have their views of what makes someone a Christian, and, you know, I think, you know, instead of really being bugged by those things, I said, you know, what a great platform, a worldwide, you know, news platform, you know, for the church to be on to finally explain and clear up, you know, any, any confusion.
Yeah, any misconceptions.
One last random question. Glee, season 2, did a rendition of one of your most popular songs, Animal. What'd you think when you saw that? Did you guys like it?
I never saw it.
You never saw it?
Actually, when it aired, I was with my family at Disneyland, and so I had actually dropped him off at the hotel. My wife watched it while I was out, you know, getting food for everybody. The band watched it. I mean, I heard it was definitely, a silly piece with the bubble machine and everything, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I just think that it's flattering that of all the songs, in the world that they have the rights to and that they could do stuff with, that they enjoyed our song, among, all those other songs, that they would choose it. So I think it puts us in good company.
You haven't seen it. That's awesome.
I'm a total Gleek and I loved it. So if your feeling is any sort of negative, let me encourage you that I loved it. And
I don't want that to come off as a negative thing. Like, I just never got
saw
around
it.
To seeing it.
That's me knowing you're
big.
You don't even worry about watching your song.
I just never ended up seeing it. And there's a lot of things that, I don't always track down because, I just keep moving forward and, seeing what the next step is. But maybe, that's, my own psychological way of, my avoidance behavior.
Sure.
or something like that,
Yeah.
Now we can get into the deep psychological third block of Cultural Hall.
Fourth.
Where Brandon gets all Freudian on us.
So you say psychological. Tell us what you mean. No, we got two more questions that we got to ask you, then we'll let you go, be a rock star or whatever. I have to go to the dentist, so that's the rest of my day.
Teeth. You need
teeth.
Yeah,
I have to go get my new teeth. I stepped on my old teeth. It's a story for a different time. But we asked this question of a bunch of people, and by that I mean everyone that we get on the show. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Of my faith.
Yeah, interpret it however you will. What is your favorite part of your faith?
I think, one thing that an institute teacher shared with me once said that if you want to take time to be spiritual in this church and to be active in this church, that you better make time for other people. And so that's what I think it is that it is a faith of unity and community, and realizing that, we're not in this by ourselves, and being there to help lead and sometimes be led, and not being afraid to be in either position at times.
Oh, all right. Other questions that we ask, what is your calling right now? Do you have a calling and what is it?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned last Saturday, that I am now the one of the instructors for the Melchizedek priesthood. And so during the third block of church in my ward is when we have priesthood.
Uh-huh.
And so in last week I was set apart and taught my first, or I like to say led my first discussion.
There you go.
As
opposed to teach the lesson. And of course, my stake president was there, like, front and center. Like, yeah, dude, no pressure.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That was actually one of my favorite things from the interview when I got to talk to him last Saturday. I said, what are you doing? He's like, well, we got to get this gig done because I got to go home and prepare my lesson on the second coming of Christ. I was like, yes.
It's awesome.
Well, and what was cool is I prepared it all on my iPad and even had notes and had, copy and pasted, scriptures and quotes and stuff, and, was able to flip through the screens. And so there I am, in church, just rolling around with my iPad. I loved it because they've got the scriptures on there. I had a PDF of the lesson, and I had, like I said, different quotes pulled up and different things. And it was cool. So, that was fun as well.
Yeah. And then the last question that we'd like to ask you, well, I guess we have two more questions, but what calling would you like to have if you could pick?
Yeah.
Oh, let me see. I'd say, they need to, I like to go back to my very first calling that I ever received was that I was a greeter.
That seems to be a popular answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, right? Isn't it? I know that it, but
it's the wanted calling.
When done right, you know, that's something that, you know, I think that you get to interact, and I guess offer that hand of a fellowship, you know, to a lot more people, you know, that are coming in and doing that. But of course, I also love the primary, and, you know, working with the kids and, you know, hearing some of their answers, you know. Emily, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for chicken nuggets. You know, that kind of, you know, those kind of things. Please bless that we'll have pizza tonight. You know, the innocence of that. So those two things. Actually, I was a sub for the primary before, but then I think they realized that, you know, I'm never there, that what was the use? So at least with teaching the priesthood, that you only teach, you know, once every 4 weeks or so. So all good.
Then the final question that we have, or what we ask people to do at the end of this, is we ask people climb up on the Rammy Umptum and tell people where they can find you, what you've got going on right now, what you've got coming up. So
all that good stuff.
We used to call it, you know, a chance for you to pimp yourself, but I didn't like that. Yeah, she didn't care for that, so we renamed it the Rammy Umptum. So if you would.
Right. Yeah, definitely. My name is Brandon Campbell. I play bass for the band Neon Trees. So you can find information about our band at neontrees.com, and also we're on Facebook as well. And we're touring the U.S. and Canada for the rest of October. And so you can see our dates there if anyone's in any of those areas. We'd love for you to come out. We got to act fast because a lot of the shows have been selling out. And that's a good Rammy Umptum.
That was perfect for the Rammy Umptum.
Right. Brilliant.
If you want to see me, you best, you know, act in a hurry. Because I say unto thee, these shows have been selling out. And so that's what we're doing. And then we're going to be working on a new album. And we'll be keeping updates on that, the progress of that, on neontrees.com as well.
Okay.
Very cool.
Well done. That was like my best Rammy Umptum rant ever.
Also, I should say that in the meantime, that you'll see me cruising with my family on our beach cruisers around the booming metropolis of Cedar Hills, Utah.
Oh.
You know, maybe going to riding to Walmart to rent DVDs and
you know, the glamorous stuff.
Chill out, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Rock star by day and daddy and priesthood
teacher
by night and Sundays.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, Brandon. We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and text me that info about the best hot dog ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good memory.
Now, I got to make sure, though. Have you had a J-Dog down by South of Campus, BYU?
Yes.
And I would say that that's the best one I've ever tasted.
Nope.
So you are going to have some serious competition, though, knowing he's had a J-Dog. You might have to buy that hot dog if he disagrees.
You go down to the old-fashioned hot dog, and you will walk in, and you'll be like, this is the most disgusting place. I can't believe I took the word of some guy that I met and only talked to for a little while, but I promise you, it is so delicious. And anyone that I know that has gone to Cleveland, tons of, you know, different bands, everyone that is from Cleveland knows about this hot dog stand. And the best part, the hot dogs are only like $1.
So we'll see. It's between the J-Dog and Cleveland's.
Cleveland's own
old
fashioned.
But they might be in two different categories as well.
It's true.
You know,
gourmet and
old fashioned. We'll establish that. You know, it's kind of like my 3 degrees of taco glory, which will be for another Cultural Hall podcast as well.
I would love it. I want to get in touch with you, too, once we get this kind of all edited and put together so you can have it. And if there's any way to let people know that might care. On your end?
As in put us on the Rammy Umptum?
Yeah.
It'd be awesome, dude. Yeah, totally.
And then I'll get in touch with you because I really do have a copy of the phone call that I'll send you so you can check it out. Because as a good Mormon person, you should have that chance to see that movie and be able to quote it like I did.
Yes.
Maybe we'll play it on the big screen like before our shows.
There you go.
Yes. All right, Brandon. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Have a great show tonight. Break a leg and all that stuff. And I'll see you in the future.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're sharing emails, and then we'll get into articles of news. I've got another kind of lengthy email, but you had a short one you wanted to share real quick.
Yeah. This is from Lisa. She says, I love your podcast. Thank you, Lisa. However, it seems very Utah-oriented. I hope you discuss aspects of Mormonism And don't focus totally on Utah locales and happenings. Keep up the good work, though. I like the openness and the fun topics. She makes a point. I mean, this is Zion. We're right. both from Utah, and it is the center of Mormonism, so we probably do have a lot of Utah-isms.
Well, and to that I would say, Lisa, I'm assuming that you're not from Utah based on what you say. And I'm assuming that. But here's the deal. I would love it. I would love it if everyone listening to this podcast right now would, in their respective boards or if they have places that they served a mission or anywhere else, I would love it if you would reach out to those people. If there was someone interesting, say, in your mission or where you live right now outside of Utah that you think that would be a fantastic guest for the Cultural Hall, I would love it if you'd go to theculturalhall.com, go to where you can contact us, and give us the information of contacting those people. We want to reach out. Yeah, it's going to be more Utah-centric because, as Lauren pointed out, this is where we live. This is where we have contacts. I've reached out to people elsewhere, and I think the larger, you know, that we get, the more people that know about us will be able to have a greater reach, you know, not only nationally, but I think also internationally, that, you know, the internet can be accessed from anywhere, on anybody's phone, in any place, at any time. And so I would love to be able to have it be, you know, internationally shared, recognized, and respected. But at this point, it is. It is very Utah-centric.
And we do hope, because I think if there's a demographic that could really benefit from this, it's those that aren't in a population that is so full of Mormons, those that need a connection a bit or want that connection, crave that connection to people of their faith.
So I mean it when I say, please, you know, if nothing more than just tell people to like us on Facebook so that they get to, you know, can get enticed by the messages that we share out or the postings about the podcast that we put out. I would love it if everyone would go home, think about all of their friends and find one person that they could share.
Pray about them.
Yeah. You can pray about them. Put them down on a list. We did that in the mission field.
Uh-huh.
Write a list of all your non-listening friends and find one person. And I say that jokingly, but I also say it very serious. Please share us with your friends. The more that we have people listening, the more the greater I don't want to say it this way, but I think that the people that, you know, that some people would like to hear from, like your Donnie and Marie, maybe, or your Glenn Becks, you know, a lot of those people, in order to get at some of those people, we're either going to need a personal in, or we're going to need to be able to say, look at all these thousands of people who listen to this show. It's valuable for you to come on and do it.
In other words, Lisa, you better be praying.
Yeah.
And telling your friends to listen, especially those outside of Utah.
Yeah, so share it with your friends. This one's from this email's from Derek. He says, I wanted to send you a letter of congratulations. Sorry that I don't have a card, because I just listened to your Age of Accountability 8th episode.
Oh, I'm proud of that one.
I wanted to let you know that I've really been enjoying your show so far, and I want to thank you for filling the niche that you do. That's the second time. We're a niche filler. You know that, Lauren?
I like it.
I'm at BYU right now studying English. I don't know if that means he's studying English at BYU currently or literally right that second when he sent the email, he was sitting in a library studying English.
It's mind-boggling. Who knows?
He says, my faith has been deeply affected in a positive way by John DeLynn and Mormon Stories, episode 4 of the Cultural Hall.
Interesting and good to hear.
It was through him that I heard about you on Facebook, so I was glad to hear some listeners writing in to defend him in his somewhat non-traditional views. However, the main credit that I give to you folks is that you have been enormously respectful and fair, not taking it on as your job to push one view or another, but just presenting it. But your faithful and light humorous tone has allowed you to bring something to the table that Mormon Stories just is not going for. I consider it a wonderful blessing to have your voice to listen to, along with the rest of them. Good for you guys, and please stay fair and objective. You're doing such a great service. And then he goes on, and I'll let people check this out, Derek. He says, as someone involved in production myself, I created The Porch, a local storytelling show here in Provo. Climb up on the Ramiumptum. I make a podcast to go along with that as well, and I'll give you the URL, utahporch.org. I've greatly appreciated listening to your guests talk so openly about their jobs and their lives. Even though I somewhat frequently squirm at something Richie says as a joke, I really dig your tone. I would be curious as
I would
to
be
what,
curious to what he's saying,
yeah,
too.
What things make you squirm, Derek? So
send that our way.
I mean,
I'm with him, but I'd like to know.
I'm tough. I can take it.
I sometimes look over at Richie and I'm like, did you really just – I give him the eye.
Anyway, this is long, but I mostly want to say thanks and keep up the great work. Now you're accountable, so please remember who you are and all that. Stay objective and fair, and I look forward to continuing to follow the show. Best of luck to you. And he says he's in the future he's going to get Richard Dutcher on his Utah Porch nice. Thing. And if we would be interested in being on it, he invites us as well. So.
And what was his first name again?
His first name is Derek.
Derek, we'll be saving a seat for you.
Yeah.
And I'll totally accept your Facebook friend request.
Yeah. That's so good of you.
I know.
So let's do Article of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
So I got just a couple random things of news. This it seems like we have forever since we did a podcast.
Did your voice just squeak?
Yeah, it did. Bad. Squeaked bad. Do I have water in this?
Are you going through puberty again?
I'm not. It wouldn't actually be again.
Just continuing.
It would be, a continuous process from 14 to 31.
That's adorable. Okay.
I've been in puberty more than I've not been in puberty. Nathan Gunn and Jane Seymour are going to be joining the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for Christmas. Who is Nathan Gunn? Do you know?
Nope.
Do you know who Jane Seymour is?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's cool.
For those who don't know.
Medicine woman, right?
Yeah. And then opera singer Nathan Gunn. So that should be a pretty awesome thing. That's held downtown Salt Lake at the LDS Conference Center, December 15th through the 18th. Sorry, Lisa, that just happens to be here in Utah that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is performing. You can get tickets, or for more information, go to mormontabernaclechoir.org. Tickets, 84,000 tickets are free, be distributed by random drawing. They're probably all gone at this point. So contact your local ecclesiastical leaders if you're here in Utah. If you're where Lisa lives, you won't be able to go because you'd have to buy a ticket. And by buy a ticket, I mean a plane ticket and come to Utah.
It'd be tough, but doable. Let's see how hardcore of a Motab fan you really are.
Yeah, prove it. We announced that they were going to do the groundbreaking for the Payson Temple, and they did.
And it's been done.
So
ground broken.
Yep. That was
a
service that was overseen by Elder Dallin H. Oakes. Oakes, who spent part of his childhood years in Payson, led the groundbreaking service for a new temple, which will be built in the southwest part of the city. You'll be able to see it right off the side of I-15. So
that is really cool. My ancestors founded Payson.
Grandpa Payson?
Yeah. I come from a line of
Paces.
Paces. It was Pace and Son, hence the name. And my little brother is named Pace. So named after that line.
Named after the temple. Or the temple's temple named after him that hasn't been built yet.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a future naming after. It's weird. It gets complicated.
Bacante sauce and all that, yeah, too.
Oh, he's gotten all those jokes?
No, they came to him. Oh. You know, they found him and they're like, hey, can we name the salsa after you? And still getting money from that. Not to
get He's living off residuals from the Pace Picante. Do you realize we just went on a huge tangent?
Keep going.
Okay.
Get back on.
Let's go back. I don't want to get into this yet. Hang on. That one's a good one. That one's also good. Let me just look through this. Hang on. Okay. So now I'll go into that one. Let's do this. From the Salt Lake trip, this is talking about the funds for poor people to be able to enjoy temples. Let me share.
Yes.
This is from Peggy Fletcher Stack. She writes tons of things,
I
blogs
like her.
And such about the Mormon Church. In fact, I think that's her assignment over there at the Salt Lake Tribune. Goes on. The Ugandan woman was so frail, Edward Christensen had to lift her from the wheelchair into the bus that would carry her to the airplane that would jet her to South Africa. She was in the last stages of AIDS, but felt an urgency to get to a Mormon temple to be ritually wed for eternity to her LDS husband, who had died earlier from the same disease, and to be sealed to her children. But the Mormon convert was dirt poor, and said Christensen, the American president of the LDS mission in Kampala, Uganda, from 2007 to 2010, and the cost of an airplane ticket was impossibly expensive. She contributed her widow's mite, maybe $25, which was a huge sacrifice, and the church's temple patron fund kicked in the rest. The family made it safely to Johannesburg and held the sacred ceremony. The woman died a few months later. It was touching to see her fulfill her lifelong dream, Christensen said this week. These kinds of inspiring experiences are what the funds provide. So let me ask you, Lauren Johnson, had you ever heard of the Temple Patron Fund?
No, but I actually think it's really awesome.
Yeah, I had never heard of it as well, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. So when you go to pay your tithing or fast offerings and all that, I don't think that it's one of the spaces, but I think in other you can write Temple Patron Fund. And that money goes to help people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to go to the temple to be able to go to afford
that
to go to
really
the temple.
Cool.
Just a couple of interesting things at the end of this article talking about members of the church in Africa. There are 303,390 Mormons in 31 African nations and three operating LDS temples in Africa.
Wow.
Johannesburg, South Africa, Accra, Ghana, and Abu, Nigeria, and two announced temples in Africa, Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo, which was just announced, and Durban, South Africa. So good for them as this reaches international status and listening.
So those African Cultural Hall fans, write us about these temples.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, send us some pictures. We'll save a seat for you. Now this, Provo.
Uh-huh. It's in Utah, right?
Yeah, Provo, Utah. Sorry,
okay.
Lisa. approves beer sales on Sundays.
It's impressive.
This was 3 days after the LDS Church announced Provo would get a second Mormon temple. The city's municipal council legalized Sunday beer sales in a vote of 5-1.
So someone voted against it.
Right. So here's the thing. I just want to throw this out there. We talked about this in my day job. And I just want to perpetuate it.
Sure.
That balance of when there's good, there's also that evil. So
is
now,
it really evil though?
So
he's smiling.
I know. I just want to perpetuate this, in that don't you find it peculiar that the temple is announced on Saturday and that Tuesday,
I just think
beer sales on Sunday.
I think they just struck a deal. They're like, hey, we'll help you if you help us.
Beer sales on Saturday or beer sales now on Sunday. Approved the Tuesday after it's. After the temple was
I think
announced.
It's another step to just welcome Provo a little bit more into the real world. Well done, Provo.
Well done, Provo. So you encourage people to drink. Okay.
I'm encouraging cultural differences to be accepted.
How big of you?
Thanks.
Thank you. And going along with the Provo temple, because there already is a Provo temple, the Daily Herald is where this article comes from. What do you name the Provo temple to?
What do you name it
yeah,
to?
What do you name it? Because it can't be the Provo Temple, the new temple that's announced for Provo.
The Tabernacle Temple.
And here are some suggestions.
Tab Temple. Tab Temp.
Provo Peak Temple. Squaw Peak Temple. Timp View Temple. Top of the Mountains Temple. Or Provo River Temple.
I don't like any of them.
There were some other ones here.
It should pay tribute to the Tabernacle.
Still, Provo Tabernacle Temple is a mouthful, it suggests. Provo Historic Tabernacle Temple, Provo Temple at Tabernacle Square.
Here's the thing, though. No matter what they name it, people will refer to it
as
the Tabernacle.
Yep.
It doesn't even matter what name they give it. They'll say the Tabernacle Temple.
Taber Temple? Temple Knackle?
Temple, I like that one. Temple Knackle.
Tempernacle is another one. The Provo Heritage Temple was another suggestion. Also, other suggestions that the Daily Herald received were the Jimmer Temple or the Steve Young Temple.
Ha, ha, ha. The Jell-O Temple.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Shredded Carrots Temple. The Single Temple.
So funny.
The place. So, Utah Valley Temple is another suggestion. If you have a suggestion for the Provo Temple, we will certainly pass those things along.
I'd like to make a prediction now.
Yes.
That it will be nicknamed the Temple Knacker. Hold on. No,
yeah, it's a great name, whatever it is.
Temple Knackle.
Temper Knackle?
I think Temple. No, Temple Knackle.
I think they'll just call it the Tabernacle. Oh, yeah, the old Provo Tabernacle? Yeah, it's a temple. Yeah, the Tabernacle?
Just like they call the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but we've shortened it to MoTab as a nickname.
Right.
The nickname.
So it would be the ProTab? I like that.
No, it'll be the
yeah, but
Temple
the Provo
Tab.
No, I like
I'll
Provo
meet you
Tabernacle.
At the Temple Knackle.
The ProTab.
Anyway.
ProTab Temp. ProTemp.
This is going to be a long episode. I hope that all of you are enjoying this.
ProTemp
going
Tab.
Going all over the place today.
I'll work on it. I want to end on this. This is an editorial from
is
the
Salt
Lake
Tribune. Is that what I sent
Tribune.
You? No.
This is
not.
What
I sent you.
Do you have?
Well, I thought you kept it.
I thought I kept it, too.
I thought you had it, and so I've been waiting. It's just something, you know, we were kind of criticized this past week, kind of made big news that
oh,
we
talking
weren't
about,
Christians.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit before I share this. So I've been known on this podcast to give John Huntsman a bit of a hard time, because I call him a kind of Mormon.
Yes, you do.
And I have to give huge kudos to him this last week for... The pastor for Rick Perry said, you know, Mormonism is a cult.
And they're not Christian.
And they don't. And then, you know, then Mitt Romney the other night in the debates gave Rick Perry the opportunity to disavow what his pastor said.
And he did not.
And he chose not to. And I love that John Huntsman, and part of it speaks to the fact that he has no chance of being our next president. And part of it speaks to just the character of who he is.
Uh-huh.
And that he just said, that guy, he's a moron. And I love that he just, you know, because everyone else,
matter
it seems,
fact.
You know, had to, you know, parse words, or I think that's what I'm looking for.
Bring it into the political.
Yeah, be diplomatic yeah. about it. And he just was like, no, that guy's a moron.
Well, that was, I think, the really diplomatic answer, really, Huntsman's. Like, who cares? But I think Mitt, this is, you know, Lauren, personally, what I think. I think Mitt took it as an opportunity to kind of bash his rival a little bit too. Like, look what your pastor said.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you're right, Huntsman, just saying, why are you listening to him? Who even cares? Who's giving him even a listening ear?
The thing that I like is CNN's take on it too is this really mattered 4 years ago. This matters less and less,
uh-huh.
you know, as it goes. Not that it doesn't matter that he's Mormon. It's important, you know, that he lives his faith and whatever. But this idea of, you know, almost another thing that Huntsman said is it's just ignorance that this guy goes, hey, you know what? It's bigotry and it's ignorance to be these people aren't Christian. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
we believe Christ died for our sins and was and that he is our Savior.
But it's a different Jesus, Lauren.
It's not the one in the Bible. Well, that's kind of what he said. He said, no, they don't believe that. They just believe he's a historical figure, not our Savior. I'm like, not. Yeah, ignorance. But the article we lost, so we don't need to get into it. But if you we'll put a link to it. It was great.
I'm sorry that I don't have it.
It's okay.
It was unintentional. I also lost the other thing
I printed out for you. We probably don't have time for it anyway. So that's okay. I'll just summarize it. Someone wrote about how we are Christian. Who was it that wrote it? I can't even remember. Because it wasn't the church's PR department, I don't think.
Mm.
But it was in the Washington Post, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a great response. And it kind of was saying, how would you respond if someone claimed that you were not Christian? How could you respond? I think it was very helpful.
So here's what we'll do. This will be a little Facebook test. We'll post that on our Facebook page. And we're encouraging people to comment on it. That'll be something that we'll talk no further now on this podcast about. But now we encourage our community mm-hmm. to get online, to do it, to interact with us in that respect.
And
about
think
that
about
story.
A friend that you can ask to comment on it as
yeah.
well.
And have them like our page. All right. So this last one, this again may be a case of Richie stirring the pot, but I want to share this. This is from the Salt Lake Trib. It's an editorial, and Greg is the person's name. It says, during the recent LDS conference, I was initially elated, and by elated, I mean elated, as I heard Apostle Neil L. Anderson affirm that the decision of when and how many children to have are private decisions to be made between a husband and a wife and the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, my heart sank, however, as he proceeded to give illustrations, an excited new father rushing to the side of his exhausted wife to inform her that they will have another baby, and a priesthood leader instructing a young medical student not to delay children. I did not hear any examples of the mother being involved in the decision-making process at all, nor was there much acknowledgement of the imbalanced nature of the relative sacrifices of men and women in decisions regarding having children. If the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints really holds the position that the decision of when and how many children to have is between a husband, wife, and the Lord, then I cannot understand why explicit examples would be given that imply that that children should not be delayed, that mothers need not be consulted, and that priesthood leaders may have an opinion on the matter.
Well, first off, I think it's great that they don't get into the church. The church isn't black and white. It is not black and white. They can't come out with a lot of statements. They can't come out with, you know, what each couple should do as far as birth control goes. It's not black and white. But what we do as a united faith is give suggestions, give guidelines, talk about positive, optimistic things about family. I don't know. That's where I'm kind of going. I don't really see how she's
that is addressing it. But I think his issue is that Elder Anderson talked about how it should be between the husband, wife, and the Lord, and then goes on to say, and then in his examples that he shares with everyone, were not examples of husband, wife, and the Lord. And I think that's the issue. I am not able to speak about it in that I have not heard the talk from Elder Neil L. Anderson.
I would have to read it.
From LDS General Conferences just this last one, a week or so ago. But I do think that that's interesting. If it should be between the husband and wife and the Lord, I would anticipate then to have examples of that very same thing. And where I'm assuming based on this editorial letter that the examples that he did share were the new father rushing to the side saying, hey, we're going to have another baby. And then the priesthood leader instructing a young medical student not to delay children.
Okay. Yeah.
He's saying it should be between husband, wife, and the Lord. But then he gave examples of not husband, wife, and the Lord.
Well,
according
advice,
to this,
right.
Again, I don't know.
I mean, advice, what you take advice from outside sources. You take advice from multiple sources. When you're making a decision, when I'm making a decision, it is my decision.
True.
But I will go to friends or encourage friends to come to me, and I will take and listen to their advice. What I take from that advice they give me, I don't know. I can choose. But to hear everyone else's opinions and to see what they have to say about the matter helps me in my personal decision process. I don't think it means that all of a sudden the decision I just made was theirs.
Let us know what you think. Go to theculturalhall.com. There is a place for comments there. Contact us. Let us know what you think. Or you can post it right after where this is posted on the website. You can get on there and make a comment there. I think you have to log in and all that stuff. And we'll get your comments up. I have to approve them because there's a lot of spam that comes through. But you just go there.
And it's not
on.
Hard to get it to approve through Richie. Don't
yeah,
worry.
No, I'll post anything that isn't, come try my new pill or my new web service or any of that stuff. Any of those other things. I will absolutely approve if you love or hate this. But let us know what you think. If that struck something with you when you watched at a conference or if you didn't even notice it or if you think I'm completely off base in sharing that. Love to have your feedback. It doesn't look like we're going to hear back from Brandon. What I may try and do is...
Can I just make a really cool connection real quick? Since I pulled my little Payson connection.
Yes.
Hey, I found that city. Anderson, Neil, was my mom's high school sweetheart.
Elder Anderson?
Uh-huh. And he wrote that we had her 7 or 8 pages of an autograph in her high school yearbook, her senior yearbook.
Well,
yeah, I'll have to bring it in sometime. It's
yeah.
pretty cute.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Does it make you cry a little bit?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, my mom married someone different.
Yeah. Yes, she did. Not Elder Anderson. Otherwise, your last name would be Lauren Anderson.
And it's not.
And it's not. It's Johnson.
Anyway.
I'm betting your mom married a Johnson.
But if my mom, here's the question, if my mom did marry him, maybe she wouldn't be my mom, and maybe I'd be my dad's kid with whoever he married.
Who are these children coming
Okay,
down?
back to just had to throw that out. I'll bring that yearbook in. It's
okay,
fun.
Please do.
I will.
Looking forward to some awesome guests in the future. I've been in contact with some really cool people. Hope that you enjoyed being able to listen to Brandon Campbell. I'll try and catch up with him in the next maybe day or so to get those final questions with, you know, what he loves about his faith and some of that stuff.
That'd be
so
great.
We can get that, and I'll just tack that in here. Or I've already tacked it in here, and you just listened to it and went, oh, that seemed jumbled. That's why. we hope that, man, this thing's been all over the place. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that it's helped you in your daily lives.
I heard this one this week. You don't call me. Oh, wait, I wanted to make sure I got this right, and now I think I've messed it up. You can call me whatever you want, but don't call me late for fast and testimony meeting. I just promised. Bill, who I work with, I promised I'd throw that in for him. We'll be saving a seat for you
on the back row
of the cultural hall.